This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's our number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Washington coach Chris Peterson quitting is first on The Fan this afternoon. General at your service. Let's talk about that. Why now? Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander. We are all back from a Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you had a great one. And it's time to discuss this and the other big sports stories of the day. Gentlemen, a good afternoon. It's great to see you.
Hello. Good to see you guys. I worked Friday with Eric Chiafalo.
Yeah, it was great.
He did a great job leading, especially with Hot Mike. Yeah. Who was not happy with the not trying Dallas Cowboys.
And you
found out officially they didn't try this year.
Oh, no.
And now they're going to try with four games left in the season, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be awesome.
Flip the switch, win the Super Bowl.
I think that is one of the big picture topics on the Cowboys. What kind of a shot do they have? Like, if you have to put it 1 to 100 as far as regaining some kind of swagger going into the playoffs. Let's table that for now, though, because this breaking news story is pretty interesting here. Chris Peterson quitting. He was the University of Washington coach. Had pretty good success there, bringing them back to at least Pac-10 or Pac-12 contention. He was the coach at Boise State and had a lot of success with Kellen Moore. So it's piquing the interest of Cowboys fans. Like, what does this mean? Why now? You know, are they given the – he wanted to leave, obviously. So you give your school a chance to hit the ground running or to start a search for another head coach? Was he super nice guy?
So I asked a guy that I know that covers the Seahawks and the University of Washington, because I was like, hey, what I do when a head coach says that he's going to step down is I immediately say, where's he going? Or what kind of trouble is the school going to be in?
Oh, yeah.
Now, with Chris Peterson, I don't think that the school is going to be in trouble, but my mind does immediately go to, all right, what's his plan? And his answer to me was that Chris Peterson is a well-adjusted person, which makes him kind of a weirdo in the coaching profession.
Okay.
And he said, I kind of think he takes a gap year or two before getting back into it. Now, that's one person's opinion, but I just asked somebody in that area that covers those teams that might have an idea. But it's totally fair to speculate that he's got something on the horizon that's much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other reason why he would do it now? Was he about to get fired?
No, he just said that this, so bad? He said that this year really wore on him.
Okay.
And that basically he needs a break.
Huh.
That's the way that he's phrasing it.
Well, I would love a guy who has great synergy with Kellen Moore and has had good success, taking two different programs, the highest they've been over the last two decades. So I think there's a lot to like about the idea of Chris Peterson. What would you guys think, though, if in a month from now the Cowboys season is unfortunately drawing to an end and it's come out that Chris Peterson is amongst the top three finalists? Would you be excited about that?
Yes, I would be excited about that and intrigued, because you would be bringing in a college guy that has run more of what the pros are trying to get to. Teams are doing more college-like stuff, and really – Jeff and others have warned us about this for 3 to 5 years now, but it really is going that way. Yes, I would be really intrigued by Chris Peterson. I would be excited about it.
Doesn't it make a lot of sense? I mean, I'm not trying to get excited about this or go off in too far of a direction. Mike Fisher's going to be on to help us interpret coming up at 3:20. But the Cowboys have a track record of taking those Boise State players. They like the comprehensive.
They love them some Boise.
And don't those players have Peterson's fingerprints all over them? Aren't the qualities and characteristics as far as football IQ and the way you approach it and all that, isn't that a result of what Chris Peterson? I would think so. You know, from Orlando Scandrick to Tyrone Crawford and
Tank.
Leighton Van Der Esch, Tank. I mean, there's been quite a few players, and I don't know if I'm forgetting any of them, but there's four primary guys, and you know, that there seems to be something up there in that program that the Cowboys really enjoyed tapping into. Maybe it was just a coincidence, and every time they turned around, I was like, dang, we like another Boise State player. But I wouldn't be – and then you have Kellen Moore as the OC. As you're starting to think, okay, Jerry wanted more of what Kellen's vision was, and he ended up with a hybrid. What's the way that he gets more of Kellen's vision? It's to go get his former coach, who's actually going to help Kellen Moore – you know, do that even better.
You know, it's interesting. I'm just looking real quick at the Washington Huskies, because it's not like I'm following their program. This year, they did not have a good year. They're 7-5, getting to play in a crap bowl. But the 3 years before that, they had very good years. They usually lost two games or three games, including the bowl game that they lost all three of them, playing very top competition in Ohio State or Penn State in bowl games. So, because I was looking at first and I said 4-5 in the conference, in a bad conference in the Pac-12, and then 7-5 overall. But if you go back to 2018, 17, and 16, a lot of
success. They're in the playoff.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good coach. And a lot of that stuff really does make sense, right? You put him with a guy that has played for him and coached under him, and it's like, gee, how do you think the synergy would be from head coach to OC if they're very similar in their football background? I think that would be really fun. So you guys have actually just in the last 5 minutes talked me into, I'd be like, oh, sweet. I think that's a good hire. Because I'm wary of college guy. Like Nick Saban couldn't coach in the pros, and but like this is different because this is an offensive mind. It's a guy that's been forward thinking forever.
And the time in the NFL is right.
Yeah, I've spent too much time with Broadus over the last week, and he's been talking, and he's infected my brain with. He's like, no, you go get Sean Payton. You write a $50 yes. million dollar check yes. to Belichick.
I love that. You know,
like he's like, no, I want a proven NFL difference maker. I don't care about draft picks. I want the best coach.
I hear what Jeff is saying, and I agree. With if you bring in Nick Saban, what is tough is he's so controlling with kids, and you can do that to 18 to 22 year olds, and you can't do that with men that make as much or more money than you do. And then the other thing I think you do have to worry about college coaches at times is were they just at a program, and I'm not saying Lincoln Riley wouldn't be a great choice, were they just at a program where they were always more talented than the other team they faced, and so they just had to make sure that they beat the team less talented than them. That was their job, and they did a great job at that. Yeah. But I think when you look at Peterson from Boise State to Washington, he wasn't getting five-star recruits. So when they were playing whoever you want to name, the bowl games, the USCs, and I know they're down.
Beat Oklahoma.
Right. So he's taking kids that would have rather gone to some other schools if they were good enough to go to. And he's saying, that's okay. You can come here. You're good. And I'm going to make you better.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think Chris Peterson could be a very good hire. Is you know that he's taken talented players, but not talented enough to go to the major schools that they want to go to and turn them into winners.
You know, maybe it is the star that's drawing him. Maybe it's another college program as they're about to go through their season of everybody getting fired, and maybe he has his eyes on a big time college prize. But I don't know. Are jobs available? I don't know of any. You know, big
comp. People are speculating about USC. Somebody reported that Clay Helton was getting fired, but then like all the major writers were like, yep, that report's wrong.
Okay.
Or at least not yet. So I don't know. And then there's also the possibility that he's just being totally honest with us and that he needs a break.
Yeah,
but when a college coach steps down, this is the speculation. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
You've been coaching forever. You don't like, are you really just like, nope, don't want to coach for
He's 55 years old. So he's not
right.
I mean, he can retire. I'm sure he's made enough money being the head coach for a dozen years or so to retire if he wanted to, but he's not to the age where you would think he has burned out or doesn't have it anymore.
Okay, so Chris Peterson stepping away from the University of Washington is a pretty big topic there. Our first coaching search type of hire.
Luka beat the Lakers.
How sweet was that? Yeah, man, 27 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. And, you know, to get a win.
Step back right in LeBron's eye.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
Rick Carlisle talked about how difficult that shot is. And that was a couple, 2-3 weeks ago when they lost to the Lakers. To make one in such a big moment against the Lakers and against LeBron, was it symbolic of a kid rising? You know, I think that's the top question.
I love this question.
You know, right now around this team is, are the Mavs a real contender because Luka's a real life GOAT type superstar?
Yes. And you got to go back to last year where he couldn't play against the Lakers. When LeBron was on the court, he was so in awe of getting to play against LeBron. And he's kind of even admitted it. Like, this is a great thing. He's like, yeah, I was excited about being on the court with LeBron and maybe I'm not saying focused, but
he was nervous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nervous.
He said, I was nervous for sure.
And so now he looks at LeBron and he's like, all right, back
come
and forth. Let me rock you. Step back, hit a three, and then look over at Dirk sitting on the front row. And like, it ain't 19-year-old Luka anymore. This is MVP. I might be the best player in the NBA, Luka Doncic. So I'd say, yes, he is ready to take on any human being on a basketball court and prove that he's better. And this goes to watching yesterday's game. LA started doing the James Harden defense. So if somebody's, why did he only have 27? This is amazing when he has 27 and 10. We're like, why did he only have 27? You can see now what they're doing is they're putting somebody trying to get him in his hip pocket and then having another help defender ready and just like, screw it. You know, if he makes a great pass, he makes a great pass, but we're not going to let him just dominate him by ourselves the way that he just scored 42 against Phoenix.
Luka's genius and Rick Carlisle's coaching is going to shred that, I think.
Well, and I think that's how, and I don't know, like we talked about the guys other than, if you want to say Luka and KP, that's fine, but I'm just going to say Luka. Like the guys other than Luka, because if you do that, watching that game, it's like DeLon Wright is burying threes and Justin Jackson is burying threes. Can guys like that continue to thrive if they get open looks? Because if they can, that changes the outlook.
Yeah.
Because our outlook is, okay, it's Luka, and does the KP thing end up with him being great with Luka, and then do they have enough? Well, against the Lakers, they had enough because the role players were out there burying shots. And I remember part of that game watching Seth Curry, and he's guarding LeBron on the wing, and I'm like, man, for 10 seconds, Seth Curry looks like a really good defender, and it's like, this team is energized.
Yeah.
And they want it.
Yeah, they do, and they've got some big wins on the road, and usually that's the mark of a real contender is when you can go beat other good teams on the road, and I don't think it's because they're just hot. So I would say right now, if the playoffs started, I wouldn't have the Mavs in my top four of potential winners. But I'm desperate to know how good they're going to be in another 50 games.
I'm so excited about this. And I was just thinking about Tim McMahon's article on ESPN. It was about a week or so ago about the whole, are Rick Carlisle and Luka Doncic the perfect combination? And could there be a little bit of bickering? And in the article, it said, look, last year, Luka wasn't used to losing. So some of the things he was getting mad at, like, I'm not a loser. I'm a champion. I'm an MVP and a championship player.
And he was mad after the Clippers game last week.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, he's not accepting losing. He didn't accept last year as like, I won Rookie of the Year and individually everything's fine. He's now looking at the Clippers and the Lakers and taking on teams like this, the Celtics, who they lost to earlier in the year, and saying, look, these are measuring sticks and I want to beat them because I want them to know we're for real. I'm for real, but we're for real too. And so we have a championship, to me, LeBron-like, Michael Jordan-like, Magic Johnson-like, Larry Bird. Take the greatest players in the game, in the history of the game, and I truly believe that we have him here. He's going to be totally different. As Doc Rivers said, you guys are trying to compare him to Bird or James Harden. He said, by the time this dude's done, everybody's just going to say he was Luka. Mm. He's going to stand by himself alone as one of the greatest players in NBA, and we have him here, in which I can't stop watching. I can't get enough. Like, I wish there was a Maverick game every night to enjoy.
And to your point, Mike, that I saw you making on Twitter where it's like, come on, everybody. Like, you have Luka, and you have to realize it. I had brought us over and Reggie and Sterling from the station, and we were doing Red Zone and then watch Ravens and watch. And when the Mavericks came on, the Mavericks got ATV. And by the time it got into the second half, the Mavericks moved to the TV. So like it's happening, because normally I'm not doing that. Like, it'll be like, I'll catch the highlights. So it's happening. You're not going to overtake the Cowboys. You're not going to get close, but I do think that you'll be able to talk plenty of Mavericks, and it's not a losing proposition in sports radio because you have Luka.
There is a reality of that. Even the Rangers in the World Series didn't get round-the-clock coverage. You know, it was still, hey, the Cowboys, week five's coming up or whatever it was at that time of the year. Okay, so next Mavs game, by the way, is tomorrow. They will visit the Pelicans. New Orleans is 6-14 on the year, so a great opportunity to keep that rolling. Okay, so what else do we have? Ravens won, Patriots lost to Houston. So Baltimore is your current number one seed in the AFC, both teams at 10-2 with four games left in the regular season. How worried are you if you are New England? I
think this is the end for New England. Now, I think Bill Barnwell wrote a piece on it. Maybe we'll go through some of it later where it's like, could they win the Super Bowl? Sure, they could. That defense is incredible. Them and it's them in San Francisco. Like, their average starting field position is like the 37-yard line. So is Tom Brady good enough to go on a run in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl with a great defense? Sure he is. But what Tom Brady is today is average.
Yeah.
And I think next year he'll be bad. Like, I think that's just where he is.
It's going there.
At 42, at 40, he was a miracle. At 41, he was a miracle. At 42, he's an average NFL quarterback. At 43, I think it's totally over next year.
I would be super surprised if they took on the Chiefs or the Ravens and they beat them in the playoffs. And
especially if they beat two in a row like
right.
that.
And so they're probably hoping that they get the rematch against the Texans in the divisional round.
Yeah.
And it's in New England. But I just think the Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know Oakland is on a bad run right here, getting blown out by the Jets and then getting blown out yesterday by the Chiefs there. But I just – I look at it and go, man, the Chiefs, if they have everything right and they're healthy come playoff time, they might be the team that can still beat New England and Baltimore and make it.
I think that's a great point. I could totally see that. Yeah, what a weekend of football. I just think the Patriots need to find themselves a touchdown maker. You know, they tried for Gordon. They tried for Brown. They know how desperate it is. Give Gronk what he wants. Say I'm sorry. Do whatever it takes.
He's at the Laker game, Dan.
Yeah, he's having a good old time.
What do you think Gronk weighs?
I think he's still in shape.
Yeah. 15 pounds less, or do you think it's more?
I think it's at least 15.
And oh, you think it's a smallness thing?
Yeah, I think Gronk's probably 220.
Deflated?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I bet he could still go out there and play, but I think with me watching Brady, I know the weapons aren't good. Edelman is and James White is, but like he just doesn't throw it that well to the outside anymore. Now, the guys out there aren't very good either, but it's not just give him better players, I don't think.
He was mad at his players yesterday on the sideline, had quite a rant because they weren't breaking hard enough off the line of scrimmage and in and out of their breaks. And they're
like,
routes.
Well, and he was yelling at Jacoby Myers, where he's like, hey, we got to be quicker, faster, and more explosive. And Jacoby Myers is like, I was undrafted, B word. Like, why do you think I was undrafted?
Okay,
you used a first round pick on a dude that didn't get separation in college. Mm. The pick on N'Keal Harry trying to run a slant, it was like, well, that's what he was in college. He can't get open, and you used a one on him. The Patriots aren't perfect. Remember that, people.
They don't draft well. First look at the wagering line for Thursday at Chicago. Does Vegas still think the Cowboys are better than the Bears? That's next in the Nation. All right, we're rocking and rolling here on a Cowboys Monday. We're also talking quite a bit of Mavs with you. Are we going to have a Jason Garrett press conference? I see it here on my log, but they're all out of whack. It's like a Thursday, so they already had it? Yeah.
I think they already had it. At least okay. I was listening to this fan today and I thought it was on.
Well, we did have him on with Sean and RJ. It was amazing, and we'll go over some of the highlights of that discussion coming up at 5:20 here. If you want to set an alarm for it, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, because he's talking about it was cold. Somebody asked him about the 2013 Bears game, and it was the coldest game maybe in Cowboys history, and he was like, what do you remember of it? And he said it was cold. And then he said, no, really, it was cold.
Well, you can definitely tell he had a pulse this morning with Sean and RJ. They were hitting him with the hard questions. And he actually, you know, apologized for something, but we'll get you that coming up at 5:20. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. Yeah, first look here at the line. What does Vegas think as far as the Cowboys? They say the Cowboys are about as good as the Bears. It's the Cowboys are visiting, so they have the Cowboys minus -3, so they think the Cowboys are still around a touchdown better than Chicago, actually, if home field's worth 3 points.
Mo money.
That's pretty significant right there.
I would not be betting on the Cowboys in this game.
Other interesting line. You just think what is it, the Bears defense?
Trying.
This offense is weird. It's so out of sync.
You called it on Wednesday. Yeah. You were really worried about the offense, and I said, I'm more worried about the defense giving up a lot, and we were both right. They're both terrible at football. But maybe they'll wake up, but probably not.
The Cowboys, if you could eliminate feelings inside your body, I would probably pick the Cowboys to beat the Bears.
Yeah.
But I have reached the point where I think against a team that's decent or better, I'm just not going to pick them.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
It's kind of 50-50.
They haven't earned that. So now you're the road team on a Thursday game, and so now I will be picking the other team. I'll pick the Bears to beat you. But so the Bears, they're on a 2-game win streak.
Yeah.
It's against the Giants and the Lions, and they've never scored more than 24. Do I think the Bears will score 24 and beat the Cowboys? Maybe if they get weather help? Because I still think the Cowboys have a good offense. I think the Cowboys have a very good offense, but I think they're undercoached. I don't believe in the defense, and the special teams is killing them, and they don't force turnovers. All of that put together, and I'm not going to pick you to even beat a decent team with a bad quarterback.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Well, and Trubisky did play well. I don't know if that's a sign that Detroit's defense is so bad, or, you know, maybe Trubisky's figuring it out a little bit, because 2 weeks ago he was atrocious.
Do you think at all that Dak Prescott is coming back to the mean? That he's had such a great year of, like, he's top three in a lot of categories, that by the time we get to the end of the year, Dak will be better than maybe what we thought before the season started, but all those numbers that he accumulated the first half of the season are going to come back to the mean, and he's not going to be kind of close to where we thought he was halfway through the season?
Yeah, because I never thought he was going to put together the one of the best quarterback seasons of all time, which is kind of the pace that he was on. And Thursday's game, he had some weird misfires that we hadn't seen. He had some weird decisions in the pocket that we hadn't seen. Like, I don't think he's going to regress back to that player, but I don't think that he's going to go be in the top two or three of the MVP conversation. But I'll say this, and maybe we'll get into this. Maybe we'll do it when it's on What's on 105.3thefan.com, because I do still think that Dak's having an incredible season. And if you're out there now like, well, you got to reconsider paying Dak, I think you're a crazy person, because I still think that he's no doubt one of the top 10 and probably one of the top six or seven quarterbacks in the league, even with what he did last week.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. 49ers at Saints is a huge game coming up. And the Saints are a 3-point favorite in New Orleans. That's a fascinating game. And then Giants at Eagles. And the Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite. There's no way they should be an 8.5-point favorite against anybody.
That's probably true.
That's crazy. Chris Peterson press conference tomorrow. The breaking news last hour, he stepped away from the University of Washington. I was texting with some buddies there at the break and asking them why he stepped away. And their best guess is that he's just worn out.
I assume so, too, because the only reason you would kind of say I'm stepping down now, if it has any connection to do with the Cowboys, is it means that after Thursday's game, you might become the head coach.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to happen. So I do think right now your buddies in Washington are correct that he needs to take a break from being a coach in football. But I don't know if the Cowboys call in February or January, if then he'll say, you know what, I've had now a little bit of an off season. Let me go down to Dallas and interview and see if I want to be part of this wreck.
Maybe he's using this time, instead of getting ready for a crappy bowl game, he's getting ready and learning the NFC East the Cowboys personnel. That's some pretty far end speculation, but, you know, at this point, I guess anything is possible. And as we talked about in the opening segment, there's quite a few connections to the Boise State program. Maybe Cowboys like what he was putting together up there. Okay, it's time for the G-Bag of the Day now here. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. And a good afternoon to you, Lucius Alexander.
What's up, man?
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Take my little energy drink real quick.
Oh, yeah, that looks like a good one.
All right. Let's get into this real
quick. Some guarang and ginseng in there, the whole deal.
So, yeah, it's supposed to have a whole lot of, like, B12s and ginsengs and whatnot.
It's grapefruit amazing.
Flavored, pink grapefruit.
All right. Who's the champ?
Mickey and Sean getting into it, fellas.
All right.
Let's get right into that.
The analytics in kicking or going for it don't factor in, and he was right when he told you that's all based on history, and the history can't factor in. How much does the weather affect your decision? How much does playing the top defense in the National Football League affect your decision? And how does what happened before you had to make that decision affect what you're going to do on that particular play?
But why would you not want the information available?
Well, what is it?
You
I mean,
nothing
it doesn't
to
matter.
Lose
you have
by
to,
having it available.
Oh, you can have it available, but how quickly are you going to access it?
But the Ravens
every
do this on
other
every
coaches,
play.
Other staffs
not
do
every
it.
Other coach uses
but
it.
But why do other teams do it? They're capable of this, of absorbing it and using it to make a decision. Why is it happening to other
people? And are they always right?
No, it doesn't matter whether you're always right. That's not the point.
Well, yeah, it is.
No, Mickey, you sound Stone Age with it, like,
well,
Jason.
Well, okay, well,
you
that's
sound
fine.
Old school, like unwilling.
All right,
to,
well, that's fine. But I do have some experience that you don't.
Yeah, but you are refusing to evolve.
Adapt or die.
You're refusing to evolve. You sound Stone Age with it.
Adapt
you
or die.
And so does Jason and Jerry and Prehistoric. The rest of the country's laughing at us. So you can ignore it all you want, but everyone else is laughing at you guys for not evolving and using new information that could probably help you. So, that's the fact.
Jack?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ring him up, Mickey and Sean there. Yeah, Sean confronted Jason Garrett pretty good, too. It was obviously like 10 times more respectful with Jay Jeezy, but it happened this morning. And yeah, you can actually take a listen to that with the radio.com rewind functionality. That's how I did it.
That's how I did it.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, if I sleep in, which sometimes I do, I saw on the Twitter some of the quotes and I was like, let's scroll back and find it.
Yeah, because, you know, what do you got to do? You got to adapt or die.
That's right. And I adapted to the radio.com rewind.
Adapt or die, bro.
Okay, who's challenging those two today?
We got Luka giving the King James that work.
At least the Cowboys lost to a good team.
What the hell?
What happened there?
What is, the wrong one.
Talking what? Cowboys in the Mavs games.
LeBron, step back, three! Bullseye! Luka against LeBron. He nails it.
That was so sweet.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
What an afternoon of hoops.
He should have did a Michael Jordan shoulder shrug right after that. Like, I don't know, man. I'm hot. I'm fire out here,
I don't know.
Man.
I think there's something there where you have to just know that the world's going to appreciate it, but you also don't want to make LeBron mad, so you just hit the three and then just walk away.
Act like you've been there?
Yeah, don't get dunked on or anything.
Give the ball to the ref.
He was kind of doing like Reggie Miller stuff. I don't know if he was looking at Dirk because Dirk was there, or he was kind of having it with a guy like maybe ragging him on the sidelines because it was very much – like Reggie Miller.
You think somebody was ragging him on the sideline?
I don't know. It was kind of like Spike Lee and Reggie, but I couldn't tell.
I thought he looked
that.
At Dirk.
It might have been at Dirk. I don't know.
I think could have
been Rondo blowing
Dirk.
Kisses at him.
Because the Lakers did a freaking video montage for Dirk before the game, which was pretty sweet. And I think because Dirk was courtside, I think he was looking at Dirk. Y'all see? Yeah, why was Rondo?
Yeah, Rondo was blowing kisses at him.
Rondo was
that
checking
was
out Luka's
one.
Butt.
Like, yeah. Look at that guy.
At the end of the game, like.
There was a weird moment where Luka looks back and Rondo's looking at him, and then when Luka turns around, Rondo looks at his butt.
You see that look he was giving him? That was that Joe Buck to Troy Aikman look.
Oh.
He's like, I'm in love with this guy.
Don't let Dwight Howard see that. He'll say, put on a wig and we're ready to go.
I think the only thing that could let Rondo off the hook
is Mike. Maybe
he was looking at how unimpressive and unathletic the body appeared.
Okay.
You know, it's a little pear-shaped
or maybe
still.
Maybe he was going all the way to the shoes.
Yeah, maybe he was like, oh, dude, what's up with those shoes? Yeah, I did see a tweet, some news out of Serbia, is that Nike offered one level of money and he was about to do it. And then Puma and one other brand came in and were like, no, don't do that. We'll do more.
He's been wearing Puma and Under Armour here and there during games. So it might be those two companies because he's starting to wear their shoes every once in a while during games.
Yeah, there's multiple suitors.
Go Puma.
I think he's just kind of holding off and saying, wait a minute now. Now's not the time to be signing. That would be like selling at the lowest possible point in the real estate.
Absolutely.
Okay, Who else is challenging?
That clip I was getting ready to play and I accidentally played. Okay. Let's play it now. It's a sad call from Eagles Radio.
At least the Cowboys lost to a good team, a very good Buffalo team. The Eagles are losing to a team about to be 3-9. This was supposed to be the gimme.
Yes. This was supposed to be the layup.
I cannot blame any of you for being tremendously disheartened by the way things unfolded this afternoon. Yeah. I know we are. Eagles are not mathematically dead, but they are in the deepest trouble. The low point, the most devastating loss of the Doug Peterson era.
I mean, the Cowboys did lose to a 4-win team, but a 3-win team, that would have to be humiliating.
That is so bad. I could not imagine.
I was honestly like, son of a gun, you jacknuts. Like, I just want you guys to take this.
The hell is jacknuts?
Well, that's the only thing I feel like I can say on the air.
I don't know if you can say that.
Oh. I'm not sure either.
I got uncomfortable.
Let's roll with it.
Might want to sound like my whole weekend.
I don't think it's common enough to be banned, so I think you can say it.
All right.
That sad call from Eagles Radio is tragically funny, though. Is it Luka giving the King the work or that work? Or is it Mickey and Sean, our two-time champion, trying to make their way towards three, Mikey B?
Two of the greatest of all time going up against each other.
Mickey and Sean?
No, I'm going to go with LeBron and Luka.
Okay.
Luka. Oh, I thought that Mickey and Sean joke was coming. I'm going with Mickey and Sean. I like that. Adapt or die, bro.
That is a nice golden nugget.
Yeah.
Go with Luka. He deserves this.
By a score of 2. To one. I'm voting for that sad Eagles radio. He is your new G-Bag of the Day champion and the toast of the NBA, Luka Doncic. We're coming back with something Mike's prepared for us to talk about.
We'll talk a little bit of NFL, but there's an article in the New York Post about Porzingis and how he wanted to stay in New York. Next.
Check out Bill Dickerson's group of dealerships, DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MyMitsu.com, and of course, SouthwestKia.com.
Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll take a look at Cowboys Twitter. Here's Baskey.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit of football at the back half of this segment, but I find this article very interesting in the New York Post, and it is from Mark Bergman, who hates Porzingis. Taken shots at him left and right as many times as he can since being traded to the Dallas Mavericks. And so he came to Dallas for the game against the Knicks, and he told Porzingis, who I don't know if he knew it was an insult, but he said, hey, yeah, you played really good for three quarters. And Porzingis said, thanks very much, Mark. he was kind of taking a shot at him, but you didn't do anything in the fourth quarter and you lost the game. Didn't follow up there. But Mark Bergman actually does, I won't say a positive article on Porzingis, but he interviews Trey Burke. And if you don't remember Trey Burke, he was here for just a second. He came in the New York-Dallas trade with Porzingis. And Trey Burke opens up to Mark Bergman about the trade. And here's some of Trey Burke's quotes, because it makes it sound like Porzingis was willing to stay in New York and work with the organization until something happened. He said, I don't think he was happy at the time going into that meeting, but I do think he wanted to stay. I think something happened at the meeting. I don't know everything going into the meeting. KP had one type of understanding. After the meeting, there was a 180. I know once Knicks management and KP had that meeting, KP was out of New York because of what was said. I think he went into the meeting hoping like, okay, what's the plan for next year? And something went wrong in that meeting and it just blew up, and that was the end of Porzingis.
You know what it kind of sounds like to me is when LeBron left Miami and Pat Riley had a meeting with him where Riley challenged LeBron. You have to decide that you're not running from a challenge, and you know, you got to get back in there. And
he's like,
you
want
to catch me outside? And I think it was probably, I don't know who challenged him, but I think it's a generational type of thing dealing with the young athlete that you got to be careful of, because, you know, that challenge, that pointing you with the finger, the old school be like, oh, you're challenging me, watch this. Where the new school is like, dude, peace out, bro.
Yeah, I can go somewhere else and fire whoever does your job there.
So maybe that's why it happened so quickly and that there were no rumors, is KP wasn't asking or demanded to be traded until the day before they played the Mavericks. That was when the meeting happened, or the morning of the Maverick game in New York. We were at the Super Bowl because I remember watching the game. We went out and had dinner together and watched the game. And Dennis Smith Jr. had a great game. He might have had close to a triple-double. And then all of a sudden, the next day, Porzingis is ours, and we had no clue that there were any discussions. And maybe it was because Porzingis and his camp weren't asking for trades until after that meeting blew up.
Yeah, it was perfect timing, really, for the Mavs, who had coveted Porzingis for years and had constantly been blowing up the Knicks like, dude, let us get Porzingis. And they were always no. They just, I think they worked this thing perfectly. Stroke of genius.
And we've kind of talked about this. This goes back to Trey Burke in the New York Post talking. He said that one thing that Porzingis did say, a lot of things the press said he felt wasn't true. He feels like there was a narrative that got out about him. He couldn't defend himself. I don't know if Dallas told him not to talk that much, but he wasn't talking. I do think he has his side.
Okay, that's fair. You know, there's always two sides to a story. I think at best, he was immature and struggling to, you know, put the team first at times in New York. You know, I don't know what kind of a spin you could have on, I get my own parking spots and those rules don't apply to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, that's pretty cut and dry diva type stuff.
Am I impressive.
But I would love to hear his side of the story, you know, but I'll say this. I think it's great that apparently he's become mature enough or mentally tough enough to just be like, okay, Mavericks, if you think it's best to not put out my side of the story while I'm getting trashed, I'll go ahead and do that. You know, that's a sign of professionalism right there.
Yeah, so that just goes to Trey Burke in the New York Post and them not crushing Porzingis, because near the end of the article, like, you can see Mark Bergman, who's been a very pro-Knicks person throughout this whole situation, is kind of like, what did the Knicks do? Like, now he's kind of wanting to be like, what did the Knicks do in this meeting if KP kind of wanted to stay? Because in it, they're kind of like, look, Dennis Smith Jr. is coming off the bench. And those picks, they're watching Dallas besides them beating them. Like, they are very happy that they beat them. But they're looking at the Mavericks now going, those picks are going to be in the 20s. Like, we're not getting a good pick most likely out of this trade. And Dennis Smith Jr. is a guy off the bench we use for 20 minutes a night as a backup point guard. That's what we got for him.
Yeah, that would be massively disappointing to be a Knicks fan.
And so because the Mavericks are winning, I think that now they're looking at it going, and here's the deal that wanted to go on Porzingis yesterday.
I don't feel like it's Porzingis-driven winning yet.
No, and that's 15 points, 6 rebounds yesterday. And so he didn't have a great game. He didn't have a bad game. The Mavericks are 13-6 and have 2 losses to the Knicks. That's the most amazing thing. Probably the team that's going to have the second worst record to the Golden State Warriors. And Porzingis has not hit his stride. He's shown a nice 3-point shot every once in a while and some nice alley-oops that have been thrown to him. And at times
protects
he's had
the rim.
Right. Yeah. He's had good block shots and he's rebounding a little bit better than maybe we thought he would or hoped that he would. And this is what's amazing to me is the Mavericks are where they're at. They go to Houston. They win. They go to Denver really early in the year, and they win. Now they've gone to L.A., and they win, and they played L.A. at home and should have beat them. They hit a last-second 3-pointer to send it to overtime, and Luka got, he flopped himself into a head injury.
Yeah,
and
totally changed that game.
The Mavericks are where they're at, and Porzingis hasn't come anywhere close to the expectations that were kind of put on him in preseason basketball. So where is the ceiling? Where is the roof when it comes to this team? Because Porzingis is just right now a nice role player on this team.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be this good without Porzingis because, 19-9 or 18-9 or whatever, that doesn't grow on trees that easily.
Right.
But your point plays that he should be around 21 or 22 points per game and more active, going towards the basket. When he gets a little bit more confident out there, he's very capable of taking his game to another level. And it's very clear that he's committed to, being a good defensive player and try to rebound. He doesn't have the body to rebound. I don't think he ever will. Yeah. And maybe you think he's making business decisions down there, but he's getting more rebounds significantly than he was with the Knicks.
I think that's a great question. Is he protecting his knee after blowing it out? Is he worried about getting into contact where his knee's going to mess up again?
I will defer to both of you because I bet you've seen more of the Mavericks this year than I have. But just watching against the Lakers, if there's like a ball gets tipped up by the rim and it's like, all right, and now we're going to scrap and who's going to end up with it? He seems like he'll kind of put a hand up there, but he's not real interested in mixing it up to go get the basketball.
No, I would agree. I just he's not an athletic body. He's a super tall guy, and he kind of moves like a super tall guy. He's not an athletic freak at all.
Dwight Powell will try to get your ball.
Rarely get it because he's not a good rebounder.
Right, but he'll try. He'll be in there throwing elbows and trying.
It sucks to be a little bit slower and a lot less stronger than everybody else on the court. And sometimes you give up on yourself, right? And you're like, well, I'm just going to go over here and hope it bounces my way. And, that's something that I don't know how much better he could really be at. He's already improved by 2 boards a game, though.
And I guess by the minutes and then looking at their rebounds, like he is a better rebounder than Powell and Kleba and whoever. So I guess maybe my eyeball test is wrong.
He's in between right now for me, Sean Bradley and Dirk Nowitzki. Hopefully, as time passes, he leans more towards
Dirk
Nowitzki.
That's a big difference, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
But the way that Dirk could get you 10 rebounds a game and he would fight for rebounds, and even though, Dirk was a little bit shorter than Porzingis, he would fight, and Sean wouldn't, but Sean would find 5 or 6 rebounds being 7'5", 7'6", whatever he was. And so I see him like in between those guys, which is a big difference, but I see Sean Bradley in him at times, and I see Dirk Nowitzki in him at times. He'll never be as bad as Sean Bradley. He'll never be as good as Dirk Nowitzki. And so that's kind of where he's at right now, but let's see where he ends up being.
Sean Bradley got some TV time last night. I was trying to see what else was on after the sports were over or like before the night game and like nothing was on. So I went to NBA TV, and I guess when they just want to re-rack something, they do a top 10 list.
Okay.
And they do top 10 dunks and top 10 clutch shots.
With Tracy McGrady on it?
Top 10 dunks. Oh. I feel like I saw Sean Bradley a couple times.
I know, in the playoffs, Tracy McGrady dunked over Sean Bradley, and that one gets played a whole bunch in 2006, if I have my years right.
I love that they picked him for Space Jam. Like, listen, we've got to find guys that are awesome, that the aliens can steal their powers and be great at basketball. Sean Bradley.
Everybody thought, because he went on his mission, everybody thought that he was going to be one of the top 5 players in the NBA because nobody'd seen somebody that tall, that skilled at basketball.
Yeah.
They just forgot there's a lot of physicality in the game, too, that he wanted no part of.
Do you have to have a custom home if you're Sean Bradley?
I bet so.
Yeah.
Because your front door's not 7 foot six, is it?
No.
No. Okay. So you probably make 8 foot doors everywhere and 8 foot.
At least.
Yeah.
What a beating.
Okay. And probably 10 foot. Yeah. But at least every room has to be probably 10 feet tall so you don't feel like your head is on the roof.
What a beating.
Okay. So I want to talk about football for just a second. And we've talked a little bit about Baltimore and San Francisco. So let's give these last 2 minutes for Monday Night Football because Mavericks aren't on tonight, unfortunately. But Minnesota at Seattle is. And if you haven't heard, Thielen is out. He's not playing. The game is in Seattle. So Seattle should have a pretty big advantage there. I'm going to ask this off of this game. If Seattle wins this game.
Odds are, I've seen the odds on this. If Seattle wins this game. Odds are you're playing San Francisco in the first round.
Yes.
And if Seattle
loses by a whole bunch, I want to get embarrassed.
If Seattle loses this game, odds are you'll play the Seahawks in the first round. Now, obviously, anything can happen in football. That's just what the computers say. So if you're a Cowboy fan and you have a rooting interest in who you play in the postseason, if you get there, Seattle winning makes them the favorite to win their division, and you probably get the Niners.
I think it's interesting. You would almost always pick the lesser quarterback, but I think in this situation, it's almost impossible. I'll just flip a coin on who I'd rather play at this point.
Oh, I'd rather. Well, I guess I'm opposite of Mike
here. I don't
think
we'll score against San Francisco.
Right.
I think we'll lose 30. I'll pick 30-0.
I want a different head coach, too, but I guess I'm opposite of Mike in that once you're in the playoffs and it's like, all right, playoff game time, I'd rather play the team I think you have a better chance against, and that's Seattle to me.
Yeah, I would hope that our offensive line could have an awesome day and sort of neutralize San Francisco's biggest weapon, which is their defensive line. But are we starting to lose any faith in this? The three main guys are only 28 years old.
I think that right now, and maybe it gets better and better, I think right now Travis Frederick, unfortunately, is average. Tyron's above average. Lyle's good. Zach's good. And your left guard is eh. So,
Well, Tuafilo, it's pathetic.
Oh, yeah. With him, it's really bad. But, yeah, they shouldn't be in the conversation for best line in football.
He fell down. The first play he came in, he fell down.
Yeah, he gave
down.
Up a sack fumble. First play.
I think it's just injury related.
Tuafilo?
No.
No, I think he can't play.
The O-line in general? Just kind of
yeah,
broken down.
And will they ever be healthy?
So.
Like
Come
Tyron,
on.
It's a back, and he wears an elbow brace, and Zach's knees, and I don't know.
At least the Jones family got off their Thanksgiving vacation and signed another guy to try out.
You know, the Cowboys talk feels depressing right now, and the Mavs talk is exciting. We'll continue to weave in both, and if the Cowboys discussion gets a little bit depressing, just text in. Back to Mavs now. We'll hit the Mavs for 5 or 6 minutes of sunshine, and then we'll come dabble back in the important stuff of Cowboys.
I have long-term optimism for the Cowboys. It just involves after a leadership change.
Okay, Cowboys Twitter, is this a good reason to not give Chris Richard a shot right now?
What? We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.